Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson, and our guest today is Barry Goldstein. Hi, Barry.
Hey, David. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Excited to be here with you.
Good. Welcome, welcome. As we do on every show, we like to set an intention for the show, and we're thinking to do enthusiasm, the EPH. We're doing the EPH, enthusiasm, passion, and harmony for life, for sound healing, for, you know, the conference we're doing, for anything. So it's just that energy of enthusiasm, passion, and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But before we get started, I want to tell people about things happening here at the school. We do have a semester that just started. We offer the certificate and associate degree program. Just started, but we already have two more people that are starting this week also, and we're doing a makeup class on Tuesday. In case you wanted to jump in, you could still do it. Or even if you can't make it for Tuesday, there's another class you could make up on June 8th, which is the beginning of the intensive. So we have the three-month version that just started, and that's a few nights a week. And then we've got the summer intensive, which is June 8th through the 21st, and that's 10 to 9:30 every day. And we haven't killed off anybody yet. People go into the zone, you know. I mean, it's like you just get deeper and deeper through the 2 weeks. We've been doing it about 6 years, and it's really, really powerful. And then you just do all your reading afterwards, right? That's the first half of the certificate program. You could do the second half in the August intensive. That's August 8th. August 3rd through the 15th. And if you can't make it back for the second intensive, then you could actually do the rest online. We actually have the whole certificate and associate degree program online with live instructors, or you could do it by video or do a combination. So you could do the whole certificate online, or you could come to the first half of the intensive, which are the classes that are best done here. I've scheduled them for the first half in June. And then you could do the rest online because they're mostly lectures anyway. So that's happening. We've also got our sound healing audio recording and production program. And that just started this week as well. So you could jump in on that if you happen to be in the area. Or if you're not, just get on a plane. And we also have that online as well. We've got an 11-week program, which is half of the certificate, and works really well. We have Pro Tools fed into WebEx, so you can see our screen and hear everything we're doing. And it's really about how to use any digital audio workstation or recording program in the computer at a much deeper level. We teach you how to use binaural beats tuned to the key of the song. We go through all the different frequencies based on archetypal frequencies, not to mention, you know, just how to do, you know, equalization and compressors and limiters and noise gates and reverb, flange and chorus and phasing, and how to create different structures of mixes as well. We also have an intensive version of that, July 24th to August 1st here at the school. So you could actually do the intensives, and then in between the intensives, we're doing the audio intensive. So you could spend the whole summer here doing intensives. We also have, on Friday, June 13th, we have a Tibetan bowl concert with Karma Moffat. These concerts are quite amazing. Karma is really the Tibetan bowl master of the world. He's got over 100 bowls and different sound makers that are quite incredible. And he's got it all hooked up to a looping system, so the whole room is shaking with the sound of bowls and horns and bells and such. It's really powerful. It's only $20. We also have our open house on June 29th here from 1 to 6 p.m. We'll get you into the zone with a lot of sound healing meditations, heart opening. And we talk about how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We also have the sound healing retreat in Mount Shasta on August 30th and 31st. And that's really cool. It's right on a river. It's at Stewart Hot Springs, which is some of the best healing water on the planet. It's really quite amazing, the tubs they have there. And also, of course, it's at the foot of Mount Shasta, and there are 3 million Lemurians inside Mount Shasta humming in love and light all the time. So we're going to be humming with them. So if you can make it, it's only $165 for 2 days there. And the third day, we actually go up on the mountain and do meditations, and we have some other people that are helping us, including Bev, who is the crystal bowl master of the world. In fact, Bev is actually works with crystal tones. She actually chooses the different minerals and crystals and metals that actually go into the alchemical bowls that crystal tones sells. And she really tunes into them as a state of consciousness. She's such a trip. And she's going to do a whole ascension thing at the workshop. So you can find all of this at soundhealingcenter.com, or you can call me at 415-777-2486, or email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. Of course, I still have my book, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing, is out. It goes through how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We've got a ton of CDs. We've got CDs you can put right on the body as well. And we also have, we've got about 15 different treatments we do here and online as well, not to mention Emmanuel, who is, God, he's now worked with 70 people, and 65 people say that their cancer is gone, completely gone. One person he worked with last week, has been working with for the last 6 months, last week, this person went to the doctor. This person had AIDS and went to the doctor, and there's no sign in his blood of AIDS anymore at all, which is unbelievable. He uses his voice, and he'll be at the conference as well. But the big thing we have happening, of course, is our Sound Healing Conference. This is our fourth conference, and it's September 26th through the 29th in Oakland at the Kaiser Center Tower. It's really a beautiful place overlooking Lake Merritt and downtown Oakland. Very safe area, actually, there. And the cool thing is it's got a 2,000-person park, garden park, with fountains and ponds on the fifth floor. So on Saturday and Sunday of the conference, we're having an outdoor festival as well as the indoor conference inside in the theater and the breakout rooms. So you can find that. You can find it on our website, but there's a special website for it that's globesoundhealingconference.com. And our guest today, Barry, is one of our main speakers there. So I'm really excited to find out what you do, because Barry, let's see, I don't have the bio pulled up here. Let's see. Let me pull it up. Actually, let me just tell a little bit about Barry. I know Barry's been doing audio recording and worked with a lot of major people. Let's see. Let me find it so you don't have to tell, and then you can go into more detail here. So you started out as a recording engineer, huh?
My background is as a music producer. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I started out, my background was as a singer-songwriter, and I moved into production as well. And, you know, you wear a lot of hats when you're a producer, as you know. So engineering, mixing, and mastering are also things that I do within the recording process now. But my career has spanned a lot of different areas, everything from providing ambient music for Shirley MacLaine and speakers such as Nirvana Walsh and Dr. Joe Dispenza, to working with Les Paul on his last recorded album and co-producing the Grammy Award-winning track 69 Freedom Special, which won Best Rock Instrumental in 2005. So yeah, my background varies quite a bit over the last 25 years now, I think, since I actually recorded my and produced my first record professionally.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's really cool. I met Les Paul. I saw him just before he passed away in New York City.
And, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he's amazing, quite amazing. It's like kind of one of the main pioneers in the recording classes. We talk about him because he's kind of like the pioneer of multi-track recording, you know, really.
That's right, absolutely. And a lot of people don't know the digital delay and room reverbs as well. He was responsible for that and just way ahead of his time. You know, the looping systems that we use now that have really just come, you were talking about Karma's concert, and he's using looping machines. A little bit of trivia for you that Les Paul had created something similar to that in the 1940s that was called the pulverizer. And this was actually a mini tape looping machine that was actually on his guitar. And you can listen to recordings of it. He said to Mary, because it was recorded during one of his radio shows, Mary, we're going to put the Andrews sisters out of business. And he was recording and looping Mary Ford's voice in the 1940s with this loop machine, you know, it was just so ahead of its time, people didn't know what to do with it, you know?
He also invented the hard body guitar.
Before
all electric guitars had hollow bodies, and when you have a hollow body, there's a resonant frequency that jumps out on certain notes. So he decided to, you know, just make it a block of wood, and so he kind of, in one way, you could say, invented rock and roll, you know, because it's really rocked out with the hard body guitars.
Yeah, and a guy, you know, who really, I'm sure he would never have called himself a sound healer, but I will tell you that I had the blessing and privilege of playing with him on stage at the Iridium, that Les he had such a finely tuned ear, you know, that when he was doing sound checks, he was able to tell the sound people, okay, now I need you to cut this frequency, you know, on this particular guitar, and he would go and, you know, try out all his guitars that he was using on that particular day, and, you know, had a very sensitive ear towards frequencies. And knew exactly, you know, what he wanted to hear. So,
you know, it's interesting. The listener, if you haven't heard of Les Paul, you should probably look him up on YouTube and see if you can find a video, because a lot of people may not know Les Paul played faster than you can think.
mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's really interesting when people play that fast. It's really a whole another state of consciousness, because really what they're doing is in one way. The rhythm, when they get going that fast, they're really tapping you into alpha and beta. When it's like da da da, you know, da 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 da. I mean, that those notes that fast are those higher brainwave rhythms.
Yeah, if people want to learn a little bit more about Les, there was a great documentary that you could probably see parts of it on YouTube called "Chasing Sound," and it was really all about Les's journey from, you know, creating the electric guitar all the way, you know, through some of the things we're talking about. You know, he's a very inspiring man. I mean, I loved, they asked Les, you know, during one of the concerts that he was doing, why he created the electric guitar. And for me, it was one of the most mind-blowing answers, so simple but so beautiful, was that it wasn't there and we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, if we could apply that in our world to, you know, so many other energies, so many emotions, you know, like world peace, you know, if we can utilize some of those same concepts that Les was using, you know, as an inventor, you know, to bring back and reinvent ourselves, you know?
Cool. You know, it's interesting. We have a very similar trajectory, and that both of us, you know, started out as recording and producing, and then moved into sound healing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting.
I noticed that, David.
Yeah.
I noticed that when we started talking. I was like, wow, we have a lot of common ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I can tell you the way I shifted was simply from seeing the magic that would come across from certain musicians that was above and beyond their playing. You know, it's kind of, it's like, it's that goosebump factor, the chills I would get. Sometimes the room would turn purple, you know, and I was like, okay, well, what is going on? How can we reproduce this all the time? What is the magic? And really, you know, it's interesting because whenever I meet a recording engineer or especially a producer, I secretly have the ultimate respect for them, because it's really an amazing job to be able to deal with the technology, but then on top of it, to really focus on the magic, on the essence mm-hmm. of what's really lighting people up at all different levels. And
absolutely.
And it's really a multi, you know, multi-level job at one. I mean, when you do it, it's really quite amazing. So that's what happened as I started seeing this magic, and I thought, goodness, you know, I'm going to start looking for people that are doing really working with the behind the scenes of how this is affecting us. So I hired Randy Masters and Joshua Leach to start teaching at my recording school. And it was so funny mm-hmm. because all the rock and rollers and hip-hoppers, they would come out from the class, which was totally trippy for rock and rollers and hip-hoppers, and they just loved it. They just loved it. So then I put together 10 years ago the whole sound healing program based on that. So how did you shift? What was how did you get into doing more healing music?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to me, you know, not the exact story, but as a producer, you know, and my background was in rock and roll and also, you know, hip hop and a lot of working with a lot of different artists and record companies, you know. Uh-huh. At the time I was spending, you know, 100 hours, you know, to record and mix and master a 4-minute song. You know, and over a period of time I noticed that I was, you know, my original intention for me was always about how music worked with the heart. You know, if there was no heart connection, then I didn't want to do it. You know, and I noticed that I was losing that connection from being so immersed in, you know, the business of recording and producing songs. And so it was right about the same time that, you know, my spiritual path started really opening up. And I decided to move from the space of composing music in that way, you know, 100 hours for a song, and decided to, you know, take what the Native Americans call the longest journey you will ever take, which is that journey from your mind to your heart. So I started taking these hour-long journeys where I would decompose and actually allow the music to really just come through me. And, you know, it was really for my own healing process initially, you know, to get reconnected to my own heart through music again. And I ended up recording 6 CDs worth of material over, you know, a 5-year period that later became a series that I created called Ambiology. And, you know, initially I didn't think anyone was going to listen to, like, hour-long pieces with virtually no melody in it. But there was some science behind it because I wanted to come back to my heart. As you know, the tempo of our heart at a relaxed state is about 60 beats per minute. So I started to
when I do it, mm-hmm. I found for different people it's a little bit different rate. I've actually found mm-hmm. for me it's 53.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be anywhere. I think they say from 50 to 70 is uh-huh. where most people are at. You know. So uh-huh. I think I started right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. It's going to differ for different people, but that was the starting point for it, and it was really to kind of re-entrain my own heart to the music, you know,
cool.
which was successful, you know, in doing that for me. And then that series ended up branching out to, you know, a lot of different ways to assist people in hospitals and hospices. But initially, it was for my own healing process, and the more testimonials we started to get, you know, of how people were using them, as you said, you know, I wanted to recreate that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I said, wow, there's something to this here. You know, we're getting all these amazing results. And you know, I really think a big part of it was because I was very, very detached from the outcome of it. You know,
uh-huh.
I didn't have any attachment to where it went. I just wanted it to serve the highest capacity of healing. Yeah, and the highest capacity of healing for each individual that listened to it, starting with me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the intention was very pure.
Cool.
That was my start.
Nice. So tell me, what, I mean, other than tempo, and you said you use very few melodies, is there anything
in those
that...
particular pieces, you know, it's not repetitive melodies, you know,
uh-huh.
there are melodies in it, but, you know, they're not repeating, you know, over an 8-bar phrase, you know, over longer periods of time. There's
got
it. Some melodies. But it was all geared towards, you know, when we, melody a lot of times can bring us into our mental state where we begin to make a judgment whether we like that melody or don't like it.
Right.
So the idea was to provide an environment for people to have their own journey with the music.
Cool. So is it, actually, I was going to say, is it mostly keyboards or full arrangements or, actually, we should probably listen to it here in a second just to, so I don't even have to ask, but tell me.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have any of the embryology pieces. I think the one that I gave you is from a new album I created called The Heart Codes.
Uh-huh.
And actually, The Heart Codes, you know, still combines heart entrainment, but I'm also using specific frequencies that work with assisting in heart coherence. So,
Can you tell me?
I mean, it's on the cover of the record, so there's not like any secrets.
Uh-huh.
But, it's utilizing triple number frequencies from 111 to 999. Actually, you talk about Randy Masters. Mm-hmm. I approached Randy.
So 111, that's from Bob Beck, huh?
You know, I don't know who got it out there first, who was originated at first. You know,
I think he is mm-hmm. the main one that has. I think there's two different people. I'm pretty sure we actually have a set of tuning forks from Randy tuning
right.
the triple numbers here. And I'm pretty
right.
sure it is
mm-hmm.
Bob Beck that's the main one, whereas 111 is really for cell regeneration, and then he goes up from there.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, yeah, that's so those are – so I was utilizing those in this specific record. You know, they're all separated by exactly 111 hertz between each one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I had Randy make up a set of those forks for me as well, because I used them in another album I did called Shine, which is more of a pop album, but I wanted to really bridge and incorporate frequency-based music more into mainstream.
Okay.
So part of a lot of what I do is bridging. You know, I'm keeping one foot in that world of production, mm-hmm. and the other foot, you know, is geared towards how we can utilize music to improve our quality of life on lots of different levels.
So you're simply, with 111, you're simply tuning up A just a little bit and then using A at different octaves as well to get all the other frequencies, is that it?
Yeah, some of them are closer to fifths,
uh-huh.
you know, but yeah, as you know, as we double those frequencies, you know, on every octave, you're going to get 111, 222, 444,
cool.
and 888, 333, you know, is I think, you know, like 0.08 hertz away from being a fifth, which is on E, and also 666 is also on an E. So the only one
that's
that
right.
is
that's
yeah,
right.
the 999 is, I think, closest. I think it's. I have to remember what that's closest to, the 999. I'd have to look it up. But in general, you know, by tuning to A444, those triple number frequencies work really well in within equal interval tuning.
You know, that's interesting. I don't know if you know this, but the harmonic structure of sound is mathematical multiples also, which all of those numbers are mathematical multiples, 1 times, 2 times, 3 times. So you're actually within that one sound of any note played at 111, you have all of the other notes that you're using in the song.
Right, exactly. And also, they also take on the characteristics of, you know, of they all add up to a 3, 6, or 9
uh-huh.
in Pythagorean scheme as well, you know, which we can talk about all that stuff, you know, what those weave into. But those frequencies that were described as the solfeggio frequencies, you know, all add up to a 3, 6, or 9 as well in Pythagorean scheme.
Right.
So, you know, we were calling them seeds of solfeggio because they're seated in the same mathematics as them. They're not solfeggios, but they're, you know, they hold the same characteristics.
Right, got it.
There are a lot more, you know, in terms of musicality, and I'm sure you know by owning a set of those Forks with the triple numbers. They're very musical, you know, too, and they relate very well to each other musically. They're very beautiful to listen to.
Cool.
So, and, you know, that for me was brought about through a lot of wanting to use them through a lot of experiential stuff with triple number frequencies. And, you know, a lot of people have experiences where they're seeing triple number frequencies. Mm-hmm. You know, they wake up at 444 or 333 or 222. And, you know, I did some research there, and, you know, there's a lot of explanations for those frequencies through Doreen Virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Melchizedek has some definitions for what those are. But none of them talked about really, you know, the frequencies of those.
You know,
when I realized, wow, these can also be, these are also frequencies and sounds, that's what piqued my interest about, you know, utilizing them within music.
That's cool. You know, one of my students did their final paper on 111 hertz. And the reason she did is before she took the whole certificate program, she actually had a migraine headache and she was up late and she heard this voice in her head that said, tone this. And she looked over at her digital clock and it said 111. So she did a search on the web for 111 and found my site because I've got that on my frequency list. And she started toning it and her migraine went away. So the next day,
awesome.
She called up and signed up for the class.
Yeah, and I mean, that is a beautiful, beautiful round low frequency,
yeah,
you know. So actually, in the chant that I had sent you, you know, to play, there's a chant called Om Shalom Hom, and it's rooted in that 111 frequency, you know, with the intention that when we connect to that vibration, that we're connecting and bringing the essence of that Om, you know, up through. Up through Mother Earth and really grounding ourselves in, you know, in the intention that we're nurtured, we're taken care of, you know, and we're rooted in that. And you know, the shalom brings in the inner peace, you know, from the above. And we bring that through the higher frequency, through the crown chakra, and that brings in the essence of surrendering and asking for assistance beyond ourselves. And then the 444 frequency is used to integrate that. And, you know, the integration point is through the heart, where it balances the masculine and feminine energies through the essence of home. Right? So it's Om Shalom Home, using the three syllables of Om in three different languages, you know, because those three syllables weave through so many different cultures to interconnect all of us.
One thing that just occurred to me that you must know is since 444 is an octave of 111, it's two octaves mm-hmm. higher, well, 444 is what you tune to get the C to be 528, which, of course, Leonard Horowitz, who a lot of people don't trust very much, it says is the frequency of the heart.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that was, for me, you know, I realized that, oh, wow, this is cool when you tune to, you know, 444, it, that happens that the C of that, you know, is a third above the 444 and it's 528.
That's
my
right.
interest was not as much in the 528 as really the triple number frequencies,
uh-huh.
but it was interesting that
it
came into
out.
Being.
That's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's listen to it. Let's listen to Shalom Hom. Is it called Om Shalom Hom.
Om Shalom Hom. Yeah.
Om Shalom Hom.
Okay. Yeah, and I invite people to chant with it, you know, as
oh,
well.
Okay, cool.
If they'd like.
Excellent. Okay. Okay, go ahead and play that, Doug.
Om Shalom. Shalom. Oh,
So tell me about some of the things that have happened, some of the responses you've gotten or transformations you've had in the hospitals and hospice centers and cancer centers and medical centers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of different stuff. Everything from birthing children into the world. We've had an amazing story of a child that was birthed on Valentine's Day a couple of years ago. And the mother was actually using my music before the birth as well to kind of start, you know, with her child, connecting to her child with sound externally. Usually about the 28th week, the child can begin to hear sounds outside of the womb. So she was using music to set that vibration. And during the birth, on Valentine's Day, she used a CD I created called The Heart to bring that child into the world. And the birth was very smooth. The mother and the child and the midwife were all just really tapped into and in training with the music to bring the child into the world in a very gentle and loving way. And for me, you know, starting out as a rock musician, and I always tell people this, 20 years ago, you know, I would have laughed at myself if people would have said, you know, wow, your music's going to be used to bring children into the world, or your music's going to be used to put people to sleep at night. You know, I would have considered that an insult, you know. Uh-huh. But now, you know, with the world in such a, you know, dealing with so many different stresses on different levels, it's one of the biggest blessings for me to know that music's being used, you know, in the circle of life. So it's used on the other end as well. Recently, actually, last year, there was a lady that I worked with in Colorado, and I started working with her when she was about 89 years old, doing private sessions with tuning forks and balancings, and, you know, just getting her, moving her to a very relaxed state. And she recently passed last summer, and I did the tribute for her. At her funeral, but she actually used my music as well to transition to. Mm. So as she was passing through to the other side, the last thing she was listening to was a piece I did called The Journey. Mm. That is also one on the Ambiology series. Mm. So for me, that's just, you know, the biggest blessing for people to utilize music in such a sacred way. You know, to come into the world and to transition, you know, out of the world, you know, utilizing music, you know, it's beautiful. You know, they've been used in lots of different ways as well. Danny and Brinkley's Twilight Brigade, some of my music's being used to train facilitators in bedside hospice as well. They've been used in dentist offices. You know, they've been using pre-op and during operations and post-op, very effectively being used for treating insomnia clinically as well. So,
do you have songs with specific intentions for those, or is it just generic kind of?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because initially, when I was doing the Ambiology series first, you know, it really, the intention was, for those CDs, was just a blanket intention that they serve the highest capacity of healing for each individual.
Right.
And we did not make recommendations initially, you know, and people started giving us testimonials of how they were using it. And they started, you know, clumping together, you know, where we would get testimonials for a CD I did called Genesis. They started just coming in for sleep, you know, and another one I did called Eden, you know, started being used for ADHD. We had a lot of people using him with Alzheimer's and autism, you know, so it was working with some type of harmony for brain, you know. So I think initially I let them define themselves, you know, because the intention was they served the highest purpose, and that's exactly what happened. You know, the highest purpose unveiled itself for us. And now we do have suggested uses, you know, but I always tell people those are recommended uses. You know, each one of us might use it in different ways because we all, you know, have have different vibrations. You know, I have to check with.
Cool. You know, it's interesting. I'm really interested in. Well, let me put it this way. In my book, both in the recording book I did, The Art of Mixing and Art of Producing, I've mapped out all the different components that make up a good quality recording and a good quality production, and every single component. And I've been looking at precisely what different parameters do for specific issues. And I think, you know, where we're headed is... you know, I think, it's actually going to happen in two ways. I mean, there's always the two different paths where you do the intellectual thing and try and figure things out as much as you can based on research and feedback technologies on the body to see exactly what things are doing to people. And then based on that, you refine it and make it even more precise for the specific thing that you have going on. The other path, of course, is which is probably the most powerful of all, is to really just let source take over and just, you know, whatever it's meant to be, because often source is much smarter than we are anyway.
Right, you know? Sure.
Yeah. So, but I am interested in I understand that you're starting to do some research in some universities on your music. Can you tell me about what's happening with that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I started presenting at medical conferences, providing information of how music is being utilized medically to bring more attention to, you know, what we're doing in the sound healing community and more into mainstream. And, you know, with a lot of support through different types of studies, everything from, you know, chanting, you know, OM, how that works with creating limbic deactivation in the brain, you know, to working with coherence and how, you know, our heart electromagnetic field can be measured through ECG and actually proven to, you know, when we're in different states with lower vibrational emotions, how incoherent spectra show up on ECGs, and when we're in states of love and compassion and kindness, it's all measurable, you know.
You know,
and
Rowan
so,
McCrady is going to be from HeartMath, going to be there.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rowan is the head researcher in exactly what you're speaking about.
Presenting
on
Rowan.
Friday.
Awesome, great. Yeah, actually, Rowan was at the last conference I did with Dr. Joe Dispenza, so he presented. I presented on one of the days as well. So yeah, and so a lot of what I'm presenting is really bridging, so that we can, you know, science is a way to create safety for people to explore, you know, the other side of spirituality and vice versa. You know, so when, you know, we're presenting in the medical community, you know, we have to speak their language, you know, to be able to communicate to them effectively what we're doing as well. And I think that when they're provided with that data and the science behind it, you know, they are more, it's more conducive to them, to allowing themselves to take an experience with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I was at one conference where we had 200 doctors, and, you know, initially people were looking at me like I had three heads when I started talking about the power of chant. And when I was able to provide the science to them, and then I asked them if they'd join me in chanting Om Shalom Hom. You know, we had 200 doctors standing up in a room chanting Om Shalom Hom.
Oh, cool.
And I think that's where we're headed, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed is, you know, utilizing science and spirituality to create that safety for people to explore within their own belief systems, you know, as opposed to what we believe can happen, you know. Allow people to have their own experience, provide whatever information is out there, and, you know, let's open this and make it more expansive for everybody to experience. You know, so for me, it's about those doctors now going into their practices and, you know, maybe saying, oh, maybe I will try a chanting CD in my office. Let's see if we can, you know, bring people into that parasympathetic state using it.
It was cool. So, Emmanuel was working in a hospital with this woman, a guy who had been in a coma for 2 months. And after working on him one day, he came out of the coma. It was basically, they have actually let him out of the hospital within like 5 days. And it was he actually has video of the doctor while he's chanting on the patient. The doctor is actually doing energy healing on the patient with him. And after all this happened, all the doctors got together and tried to talk him into working at the hospital all the time.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's really happening. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I just was reading a study about 21 different patients in coma. And, you know, they're able to measure heart rate variability changing, even though that brain is supposed to be not working. You know, the heart and the heart's intelligence is reacting to the music as well. You know, so, so many different ways now, you know, within the autism community as well, you know, where there are studies that are showing that where language is not communicating within an autistic child, that utilizing music to describe emotions and to experience emotions works very well. You know, so the thing is, you know, most studies, as you know, I think we'd have a lot more research, except studies cost a lot of money to do. And it's tricky to do.
I mean, if you do frequencies, all the frequencies and all the timbres and all the musical combinations of chords, it's so difficult to do something so complex as music, you know?
Right, and I think you hit it right on the head, you know, is that I think that's the next step, really, is now that we've discovered, you know, through research that music can benefit us in a lot of ways through, you know, physical health, mental health, emotional health, and spiritual health. Now I think we need to really get more specific exactly what you are talking about, because I think they were generalizing, you know, music helps. Yeah, okay. There are so many different genres within that. As you said, so many different frequency combinations within that,
right?
And if you know, they're separating even into genres and saying New Age music is more beneficial or classical music. Well, what pieces?
Yeah,
are, you know, those, right? And then let's get into even more specific, you know, where I think we're really going is intention. You know, intention within music, too, is measurable. But also, I think the next step after that is, you know, for all of us in the sound healing world and community, too, that I think even goes beyond intention. I think it goes to a harmony of intention and making sure that our emotions are in alignment with our intention when we're in that recording process.
So it's really a state of consciousness, even beyond the intention. Yeah.
Right, absolutely, because, I can have the intention to create a piece of music and I could be in the state of love, in that intention. But I could have, you know, a day from hell, so to speak, right, where it's snowballed, right, and I go into that recording studio, right, and am I in alignment with that intention?
Right. You know, also what I've discovered, of course, and is obvious, is the more someone works on themselves and clears out stuck emotions and gets more in alignment with their soul and with source energy, the more higher dimensions opens up for them, the more they can bring us into those higher dimensions. So it's really a lot of the work is simply, you know, doing work on ourselves to really, you know, expand as fast as God will let us.
Right. Oh, and exactly. And, you know, what also is that, you know, that we need to treat the recording studio and or any place that you're recording, whether it's your home or whatever you do, as sacred ground. When we're stepping into that recording studio, it's not a have to. It's I get to. It's a privilege to be recording.
Yeah, meditation,
music, and
setting space before you do the recording.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to play. We don't have too much time, but I want to play your another song of yours. You want to play Heart Codes?
Yeah, this is a sample from my Heart Code CD, and you know, again, the intention of the Heart Codes is to allow the music to bring an awareness, you know, to the heart, to really come back, you know, to the heart and, you know, have that ability to know that the heart is a space where we connect with source, where we connect with divinity, and bring that awareness to uncovering each one of our own unique vibrations, which is what I call the heart codes.
That's a nice intention for everyone to hold while listening to this. really hear the breath in that. So we just have another minute here. Tell us how people can find your work and find you.
Sure. It's BarryGoldsteinMusic.com. And, you know, you can also find me on iTunes, Amazon, and CD Baby for my music, as well as on Facebook and all of the social networks. So love to hear from people, and feel free to reach out to me.
Cool. Oh, by the way, you know, not only is Barry speaking at the conference, he's going to be doing a concert at our lunch break. You're going to be like the headliner for our lunch break time out on the outdoor festival. I've got you as the main headliner there. And so, if you guys want to come see him and live and check out the whole conference, it's again September 26th to the 29th. And so I just want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing. And I appreciate you being here and your work.
Yeah. Well, same here. I want to thank you for having me and all you're bringing into the world. And looking forward to a really exciting conference, and hope people will join us.
Thanks so much. So once again, we end with our intention, enthusiasm, passion, harmony, and returning to the heart. Hold that energy for the rest of the weekend, the weeks ahead. Imagine holding it for months ahead or lifetime ahead. Or, wow, complete lifetimes ahead at every moment. Enthusiasm, passion, harmony, and being in the heart. Thanks for listening, and take care.